I'm Valerie Brown. This is Roger Hallam. And we're having a little chat, sort of like a kind of a debrief, I suppose, about the action we did a few days ago, where we went to several NGO organizations, namely Amnesty, Greenpeace, Friends of the Earth, and Christian Aid. And we threw paint at their doors and left them a letter, a plea, I would even say, to them. Anyway, we were locked up for a few days, and it wasn't very nice. But Roger, whilst we were locked up...
We're both a bit bleary, aren't we? We've spent a bit, yeah. 46 hours in a windowless room. Yes. So, but we do want to talk about what we did, because... The whole name of the game of doing civil disobedience or direct action is to create a space for dialogue and debate about something that's very difficult. And obviously what we did was very difficult for everyone concerned. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, shall I say...
I just want to say it was difficult for us. I think the thing is that you never want to throw paint at anyone's door. You don't want to hurt them. But what we're faced with is a terrible, terrible situation where if we don't continue on this path of making people open their minds to just how strong a position and actions that they have to take to stop the governments, you know, the leaders of this world from turning their face away from this impending disaster, by a disaster that has already begun, you know, on this planet and the people and the animals and so on. If we're just trying to say to people, please join us, because, you know, this is like the final throes of this beautiful dying planet. And... So I'm going off on a bit of a tangent. But yeah, we've just come out of this position, this being locked up. And I was thinking about you and, you know, what must be really incredibly frustrating for you that you've had dialogue with these people, these organisations.
There's been a dialogue, if that's the right word, for 2 or 3 years now, I would say, with Greenpeace, Friends of the Earth, Christian Aid, Amnesty, to varying degrees. And the dialogue has gone somewhere along the lines of, we need to engage in mass civil disobedience at this stage of total emergency. Mm. And nothing's happening. Nothing has come out of that process. And I think our actions are to take that dialogue, if you might say, right, if that's the right word, to the next stage. So we wrote to them, didn't we, last week? You know, and again, we wrote to 50 NGOs to make clear what's happening in this world and what we need to do. And only 2 of them replied. So we went out 2 days ago and did these actions in order to create some pressure. I think it's the right way of putting it, isn't it?
Yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just read out...
To open up dialogue.
Yeah, yes. And I'm going to read what we stuck on their doors, as you might say.
Dialogue.
Okay, so this is what we wrote. This was on the letter that we stuck to their doors. And the letter's headed, "We accuse." In ordinary times, we would not dream of throwing paint over your officers. But these are not ordinary times. These are the most fucked up, extraordinary times in the history of humanity. Governments are racing us towards extinction, into the indescribable suffering and death of billions of people as they take us into a world of 4 degrees centigrade of fatal heat, to make vast continents uninhabitable, to slaughter and starve the next generation, all for a few years of profits for the billionaire class. In the face of this monstrosity, what have you done? fuck all that's meaningful. It is 30 years since we were told we will all die from climate chaos, and you are deluded about how things change. Since the British Parliament announced that we are in a climate emergency last year, you have done fuck all. Since the government decided this month it was adapting to the Holocaust of a 4 degrees centigrade world, you've done fuck all. Since we wrote to you last week demanding you bring down this genocidal government, you have done fuck all. We are here today to throw paint over your offices. Your horror at our actions reflects your self-importance, your self-obsession, your self-delusion. We are the strangers at your gate. In the tradition of Jesus overturning the tables of the money men in the temple, in the tradition of beheading King Charles to create a republic of the people, in the tradition of the suffragettes smashing the windows of Oxford Street to get their rights, in the tradition of Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail exposing the crass hypocrisy of the white moderate. For decades you have preyed on the hope of the young and the old, conning them into giving their £3 a month so you can save the world for them. Conning them into thinking that emails, petitions and polite lobbying would do the job, whilst all the time you are just data mining, raising money for yourselves. For decades you've used the fucked up language of the professional class. You have expressed concern for the slaughter of the innocent. You have expressed annoyance at the lack of ambition in stopping the death of nature. You hold up a plaster in response to the mass murder of our children. For decades, you systematically excluded working class voices with your emotional repression, your pretense of competence, your stupid language rules. For decades, you smothered radicalism and truth-telling. And now the time of reckoning is upon you. Only a Greenpeace strategist has had the honesty to name what you are all up to. Managed defeat, as he told some of us. We will not accept managed defeat of everything we love. Fuck no. We have no words to describe our disgust. We have no words to describe our rage. We are all complicit, but you have been in charge and you have utterly, utterly failed. We accuse you of appeasing radical evil. Disband yourselves or drive your organisations into a final battle with this genocidal regime. This means your executives going on hunger strike, your staff going to prison, your supporters blocking the roads. The revolution is on the way. Our sacred right and indispensable duty is to take down the government for its treasonous betrayal and replace it with citizens' assemblies of ordinary people. It is time for you to step up or get out of the way. Beyond Politics, July 2020.
I can't argue with that. I mean, I would like to just say something here, which is that, you know, this is all very strong stuff. Paint on their doors, a really kind of quite damning letter, you know, but incredibly well expressed. And I think if I received a letter like that, even if it made me angry, you know, I'm sure somewhere in the night, I would, the words, the sentiment, the rage, the despair, everything would haunt me. It would force me to think and think and think. And it makes me also remember times when, you know, I've fallen out with friends. And it's been quite nasty because there are people who maybe really, really loved me and then they stopped talking to me and it hurt me so badly. But I never just think, oh, you are just horrible, you know, you've stopped talking to me, or you're accusing me of something. I always want to know why that person was angry with me, why they stopped talking to me. It's more important to me to know the why, what I've done wrong. And this action we did today, I recognized that it wasn't easy for any of these people to come to their office and see this. But only I would just like them to go away and think as deeply as they can, why did these people do this? You know, I've seen Roger, I don't know Valerie very well maybe, but I know some of these people. And, you know, they're actually kind people, they're moral people. Why did they do this? It's important for all of us, when we have conflict with people, to look at ourselves and not always at what the other people appear to have done wrong. So I think that way is how you start to understand each other.
Yeah, and I think it's, as it says in the letter, we're all complicit, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're all bound into this death system. And
I was the worst.
This isn't about, you know, good people or bad people. What this is about is nothing's happening. That's how I see it. Nothing's happening. I mean, we've been told by, what is it, the International Energy Agency or something like that, that we've got 6 months. We've got 6 months to stop the carbon economy getting back up again after COVID. Mm-hmm. And nothing's happening. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if the government won't stand up and make this announcement to the nation as they did with COVID, you know, people like these NGOs, people have their ear, they have their respect, they know them to be these people who care about our lives. The government doesn't care. So they should use their power that they have built up over all these decades. And the other thing also I want to say is that, you know, sometimes when you've been treading the same road for a long time, you know, it's like me and my mum, or me and somebody younger than me, right? You know, I've been going along the same road for a long time, doing the same kinds of things, although actually I haven't, but anyway, possibly at my age. But then a younger person will come along, or I will come along to my mother, who's very stuck in her ways, even though she used to be a bit revolutionary, but she won't step beyond where she was. I think for the NGOs, a bit like that. They've been going a long time, and we thought, I give them this respect, you know? Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you've been treading that road for so long, it's hard to come off that road and take another road. But, you know, we can't mess around now, because if we don't challenge ourselves completely, we're done for.
And I think what's interesting, for me anyway, is that we're from quite different backgrounds, aren't we? But there's some common elements to it, and I think it's important to know where we're coming from. We didn't just dream this up, you know, last week. We've got roots in particular religious and cultural and political traditions, haven't we? And for myself, that gives me a lot of strength, and I think it does you too. So maybe you can just say a little bit about where you're coming from, you know, your background, and I can say something. Because I think that, like, gives it a little bit more. This isn't an act of vandalism. It's not an act of impulse. It's it's something that's come from decades of...
It's your background.
Decades of development.
Yes. Well, I think it's very interesting that you're a Methodist, or you were brought up Methodist, as I was. My father was very, very religious, and we had to pray twice a day, like the whole thing, twice a day, singing hymns and him doing a sermon. But I think that, you know, my father was quite a very British man. You know, he had a public school education in Jamaica, which was very rare in those days. So he was very British. But at the same time, he was very righteous. He believed in what is right. And in fact, all my family in Jamaica, I found out, my aunties and my uncles, were incredibly ahead of their time. I mean, my uncle was a tennis champion, you know, who played at the US Open and stuff. My auntie was a concert pianist. And I don't know if I've told you this before, but one of my aunties was a spy for the British government, for which she was awarded an MBE in the 1950s. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but she helped win the war. But, you know, I think that apart from that, I also grew up with a guardian in this country who was the wife of Marcus Garvey, who was one of the first black activists from Jamaica who went to America and started the repatriation of black Americans back to Africa. And also he was a Pan-Africanist. My father, despite all his Britishness, also stood up against the colonials. And so this is the kind of upbringing, apart from the fact that I grew up in the 60s and you couldn't help being blown away by, you know, I remember, you know, Martin Luther King and, you know, Malcolm X and my biggest hero, which was Muhammad Ali, so fearless and defiant. So yeah, it kind of shapes you, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I think it's sort of similar in a funny sort of way to my background, even though it's very different. You know, my parents were Methodists as well, and we had
good
that
old Methodist.
Methodist, yeah. It's all the Methodists' fault, but the thing that animates me, I suppose, is that the tradition that I was brought up in, which was a sort of Northern Manchester liberal radical Methodist sort of thing, is it's a bit like you live your life well, you know, moderation in all things. But when you come across something that's outrageously unjust or outrageously evil, there is no question. There is no question about what you are called to do, which is to oppose that with every, you know, with every breath. Mm-hmm. And that's the tradition I came from. And I think it's a similar thing in the black tradition of total non-cooperation with injustice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's brought us together. And I think that's what we're crying out for, is a recognition of what we're facing here is absolute evil. Mm-hmm. The proposition that billions of people in Africa, billions of people in the poor areas of the world are going to be exterminated through a project to continue to put carbon into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. This is not old style environmentalism. It's so much more important than that. Mm-hmm.
And we have to, you know, I always think about slavery and all that. And, you know, even now I still kind of have a good old weep like two or three times a year, you know, all by myself. I just break down and cry just thinking about the history of black people and everything and what happens today. And it's just hard to get your mind around the fact that human beings are capable of slaughter, just treating other human beings, you know, making them suffer so much. And you might think it's something a long time ago, but it's happening all the time, and it's going to happen in its worst possible way in the near future. We see it coming. Governments know it, you know, and they don't care. You know, the same way as they perpetrated, I'm not saying this particular government, but people perpetrated the most terrible suffering, you know, against other human beings, saw them physically stand next to them, whip them and see them suffer and not care. It's a mentality so strange, you know. So it forces people like us, I guess, whatever we are, I don't know. I don't like to think that. I like to think that all human beings, in the face of seeing that people can die or people can suffer, children can die or you know, animals going extinct, it's not a joke. And you don't want to live with yourself to know that this is happening. Mm-hmm. You can't keep, you know, turning away. For what? Because the beauty of this world is your beauty, is what you're going to enjoy, is the legacy you're going to leave your children. It's worth fighting for. It's as simple as that. And for these NGOs who've been at the game longer than somebody like me, you know, I did this action because I kind of trusted that it was in their hands and they were dealing with it, and then discovered that the whole thing is, to use one of your phrases, beyond fucked. But I'd like to think that there's still some hope. I have to believe that. And as long as I believe that, I will do all I can.
Well, that brings us on to the whole point of doing this action, isn't it? Which yes. is to do a direct action, a nonviolent direct action. It's always there to disrupt. It's always painful, both for the people that do it and for the people that receive it. But it's there to create a dialogue. And we're going to have a webinar. I think the information will be at the end of this YouTube, at the end of this video.
Yes.
Where we're going to invite people to come and discuss the total crisis we're
yes,
in.
Yes, yes.
That's what we need to discuss, the total crisis that we're in. I mean, we've got this phrase, haven't we, never again, you know, never again. Mm-hmm. And it's happening again. Mm-hmm. And nothing's happening. So we need to come together. Mm-hmm. And we're asking the chief executives of these four NGOs to come and have a chat with the two of us so we can actually discuss this absolute crisis.
And what we're going to do.
And what we're going to do. What are they going to do? What are we going to do?
And together, we're very strong, isn't it? I mean, you know, if we, the government sees that they're joining us, I mean, that's a very powerful thing. That's a hell of a lot of people to ignore. So yeah. that's the thing. But again, talking about the dialogue between people is that, you know, when I've fallen out with friends and eventually we talk, you know, we find that we're not enemies, that we do love each other and, you know, we can do beautiful things together. And so, yeah, the dialogue is super important.
So the invite's there.
The invite is there. Yes.
That's it.
Have you sent it? We've sent it already.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just waiting for a brilliant, wonderful, positive answer, something to give us hope.